This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world with work deadlines and horrible bosses.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
And your team may be in last place. We can all find comfort in sports, like a signal in the sky.
Oh, come on. You're going to leave me all alone here with less angry Rosie O'Donnell?
They call upon Gwynn and Chris with Tony Gwynn Jr.
Well, in that case, El Camino, Wildcats taking on the Fashion Valley. Valley Center.
Fashion Valley.
Save that clip.
Yeah. And Chris Ello.
Honestly, we're not talking about Joe Tessitore.
No, I know. Okay, I'm not going to talk about Joe Tessitore here.
What?
Showtime.
Joe Testicles.
Let's go! Gwynn and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
1 hour in the bag. Three to go. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello.
Do you think Joe Tessitore is a candidate to ever be a guest on this program?
I'm going to say, based on some of your comments, I'm going to say no.
I would love to actually have him on. I think it would be fun to have him on.
That would be awkward.
It would be awkward, though, because I would have to be honest, and I'd have to say, has anybody ever...
to your broadcast.
Yeah, right. I don't listen to your broadcast, and has anybody ever asked you to just calm down a little bit?
It's like, Joe, thanks for coming on the show today.
You know, it's great to be here! I'm on with Tony Gwynn Jr.!
I've never actually listened to one of your games. I usually listen to you on Saturday.
Showtime!
But I get sound bites every now and then,
right.
So I know what you sound like.
I know you sound like.
That would be a very interesting interview. Yeah. Scraby, you should work on that.
Scraby, just for fun.
Okay. Coming up in the next 30 minutes, listen for your name to be called and call us back at 833-288-0973 to win a family four-pack of tickets to join us for 97.3 The Fan Takeover Night at SeaWorld's Christmas Celebration presented by Sprint. On Friday, December 13th, experience over a million lights in all the new shows and attractions like the Sesame Street Christmas Village. There we go.
Mm-hmm.
I was going too fast.
You had it.
Because this whole dissertation that I'm reading right now.
Oh, it's a long one.
You can also be entered to win our grand prize, a Vegas getaway that includes two tickets to the Mob Museum with the Underground Speakeasy Experience, dinner for two at Las Vegas Oscar Steakhouse, and a two-night stay at the iconic Plaza Hotel and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. Make sure that you sign up at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan to enter.
Well done, Tony Gwynn Jr.
Right.
That was fantastic.
Let's talk some NFL.
Look at Tony Gwynn Jr. go.
All right, Mr. Tessitore, give me some time here.
All right, you got it.
Myles Garrett appealing his suspension. And listen, a lot of people at the time were very up in arms about the incident. It was no joke, no doubt. But there were people who wanted him to go to jail and face real jail time.
Yeah. You remember that?
Yeah, I do. It's funny how the temperature has kind of fallen a little bit. Now, the act was still egregious. You can't swing your helmet at anybody.
No.
But he's going to have a chance to see if he can get this reduced. A lot of flack, at least from you and I especially, came at Mason Rudolph, who I think a lot of people felt got off lightly.
I did.
He's heard those calls, and it sounds as though he might agree. Here's Mason Rudolph.
Oh, he's somewhere.
He's coming.
There he
comes.
The
way I saw it, on the final play of the game, you know, with the game in hand the way it was, it had been, well, you know, we had already lost two of our players to targeting penalties from the game. And as I released the ball, you know, I took a late shot. Did not agree with the way he then, you know, took me to the ground. And my natural reaction was just to get him off from on top of me. And again, I should have done a better job handling that situation. Looking back, you know, on the final play of the game, or, you know, the second to last play of the game, you know, I fell short of the mark there too. should have done a better job of keeping my cool in that situation. And, you know, in retrospect, I put Maurkice Pouncey, you know, probably one of the best teammates I've ever had in a tough spot, as well as my teammates.
And I think it's nice to hear both guys, because Myles Garrett was the first one on record saying that
he messed up,
was completely at fault, and held nothing towards Mason Rudolph. Mm-hmm. It's nice to hear that on the other side as well, because ultimately, yes, it could have been prevented if one guy doesn't go, but if both guys are on the same page and don't let their tempers get the best of them, we're not even having a discussion about it, any of this at all.
Well, yeah. The NFL, though, I don't think can look at any of that when it makes its decision, Tony. I mean, the fact that they said the right things is good, but I don't think, I mean, you know, you're in court because you did something wrong. You feel sorry for it. I don't know too many judges who are, you know, going to change their outlook as far as what you did. Myles Garrett is trying to make a point that there was an incident in a preseason game.
The only other
game.
Incident, yeah.
Antonio Smith, apparently, of Houston, swung his helmet at Dolphins offensive lineman Richie Incognito. I think everybody in the league wants to swing their helmet at Richie Incognito one time or another. But anyway, I don't know that was anywhere near the same, because I don't recall even.
I do.
Hit him?
Yeah, he caught him. He didn't hit him as clean as my man did. And I believe Richie had his helmet on still.
He did. Okay. That's an interesting point you just made, Chris, though. Do you think it's different because it was Richie Incognito?
No, it shouldn't be. But, I mean, he's certainly been known as a dirty player. But, no, look, what happened with Myles Garrett could have happened really to a lot of different guys. I think people are not looking at it from that perspective.
I tell you what, the first part of that incident has happened to many guys. It might happen every week.
Yeah. I mean, because somebody yanks your helmet off and then charges after you. I mean, that was, you know, look, I think a lot of people who are holding a helmet in their hands, had they done that, might have done the same thing, unfortunately, that Myles Garrett did. I don't think this was
premeditated.
It wasn't premeditated, no. Sure. But I think it was a reaction a lot of guys, unfortunately, might have had. I hate to say that.
But
how many guys would have been able to hold up from that after they're holding the helmet, they've ripped it off their head, they've already been through the tussle on the ground, and now the guy's charging at them, and there's a couple of other players going at them at the same time. You almost feel like you're trying to defend yourself, even though you're doing something everybody agrees you shouldn't do.
Yeah, I think nobody's suggesting that, A, just because they both said we both shouldn't have done this, that the penalty should be any less. I don't think anybody's saying that. And as you're talking about, I don't think anybody's saying, I think most people understand that Garrett probably thought he was defending himself at the time, or at least that's how the situation presented itself to him.
The problem for Myles Garrett is we're living in a slightly different world even than we were living in 2013, that's 6 years ago, where there is so much focus on this, number one. Number two, it was a nationally televised game that everybody saw. And if they didn't see it, we are now in the YouTube generation and the Twitter generation. And, I mean, everybody's seen this 100 times. My wife was watching TMZ the other night, and they did about 20 minutes on that play, just on TMZ. And it's always interesting to me to hear people that don't know anything about sports trying to comment on stuff like this. Hard enough for us
that's
who know something about
up,
sports.
That's hard, how people ended up in jail in this situation, because everybody thought Myles Garrett should have went
right.
To jail.
That's where they got their information from. But anyway, for Myles Garrett, this is such a high profile situation that I don't believe he's going to be able to get the suspension reduced to anything less than the remainder of this season. I mean, if he's able to save himself and be allowed to play at the start of next season, I think he'll be fortunate.
That's a reduction, though. And definitely it leads us to believe that it's going into next season. If he
that's
gets
true.
It,
if he can get it reduced to law, that would be good.
He's also saying, he's also arguing, Chris brought up that he's arguing about the prior incident where the guy got suspended for two games in the preseason, one regular season game. Myles Garrett's also saying that it's against the Players Association to not have a finite suspension. He's indefinite. He doesn't know. So the NFL needs to make up their mind.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, he can try all kinds of wording. It's still not going to really matter, I don't think.
I think he's got a shot to have it at least reduced to this season only.
Like, how many would you say?
That would, so it would end up being the remainder of the season, which would be what, 6 games?
Yes.
Yeah, so
6 games, yeah, because the 49ers are going to go 9-7.
I don't think.
Yeah, 6 games.
Okay,
I don't think Cleveland's I don't think Cleveland's going to the playoffs, so I think he has a chance to get it reduced to seizing this season only. All right, nevertheless, we'll find out sooner or later. You guys have asked for it, and guess what? We're bringing it to you. The Clippers. We're going to talk about the Los Angeles Clippers. Of course, Kawhi and Paul George will be on the same floor for the first time this season. We'll talk to Andrew Greif of the Los Angeles Times about the Clippers when we return. This is Gwen and Chris on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Team formerly known as the Buffalo Braves in our spotlight right now as we return to Gwen and Chris. 420 is the time. Yes, I was going to get to that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
From the Buffalo Braves to the San Diego Clippers to Los Angeles and finally to respectability, joining us to talk a little Clippers basketball, Andrew Greif, from the Los Angeles Times. Andrew, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Hey, thank you so much for joining us. Tonight, obviously, the big news that Paul George and Kawhi Leonard will play together in the same lineup at the same time. Novel concept for the Clippers 15 games into the season. What do you expect to see tonight from these two guys playing together?
I think it's actually a really intriguing matchup that they're going to come back for, because Boston has been playing really well. They have two kind of long-armed wings with, I don't want to say the same skill set as Leonard and George. Those guys are all-stars for a reason, but Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are pretty fun to watch defensively. They've got a good thing going, and so I think it's going to be a good test. What I expect to see, Boston's defense, as good as it has been, having a really hard time double-teaming these guys or focusing their attention on them, because that's what teams have been able to do the last few games. They've been able to double-team Kawhi exclusively. That's what Toronto did. Oklahoma City went after Paul George all the time. Now you can't do that. Both them on the floor, you just can't focus on one of them.
Andrew, I want to ask you a little bit about Kawhi, former Aztec. There's been a lot of controversy concerning the load management, but when you really look at it, it seems like he's been a little banged up. He's missed multiple games here the last few. What's his health like, and how have the Clippers responded to all the attention they've been getting because of the load management issue?
Yeah, the load management, they've been sitting about half of a back-to-back. You know, when they play on consecutive nights, which is something he hasn't done since 2017,
right.
They basically have said that he has been dealing with, the NBA said that he's been dealing with a patella tendon issue in his left knee that's ongoing, and that has kept him out from playing at least one of the nights of a back-to-back. But the most recent thing that's kept him out the last 3 games was separate. That was a contusion on the left knee. They say he knocked knees against the Houston Rockets. Doc Rivers has said no concern long-term over that. Obviously, he's going to go tonight. I think that when you talk about what their reaction has been to the load management, or at least the criticism of it, is that they know that they have put fans in a hard spot. They know that the league sometimes has not been happy with the way the messaging has been going on. That, you know, the Clippers have said at some time that he steals medical information that given the league has said otherwise, that he's not quite healthy yet. I think bottom line, their position is, if we do what we want, which is win an NBA title, all those concerns that were talked about in October, November, and December, I think people will forgive us. So it's kind of a big risk. I think you do face backlash all season, especially if it doesn't pay off. But that is their only intent, is to be healthy by April, May, and June.
Yeah, certainly understandable. Andrew Greif, Los Angeles Times, covers the Clippers. They got a huge game tonight coming up against the Boston Celtics. I wanted to ask a little bit more about Kawhi Leonard, just in the sense of his return to Southern California, or how much that means to him, or if you can tell, or as he said, or how much he's enjoying things. I mean, this is a kid who grew up in San Bernardino, Riverside, then obviously played down here in San Diego, and then he's been gone for a long time, San Antonio and Toronto and all these other places. Coming back to LA, has it been everything that Kawhi thought it would be?
He says it has been. Yeah, before the Toronto game about 8 days ago, there was a lot of conversation about that topic, because obviously he left the Raptors where he had a good thing going, but he wanted to come back. And there was a lot of talk about, has it been what you wanted, what you expected? And he said that what he's enjoyed is that after games, for example, he can go see his nieces and nephews, his family members. That has been a very important reason for why he left in the first place, and that he won the attraction of coming home. And so that, at least from his point of view so far, has lived up to what he had hoped all along.
Andrew, I want to ask you a little bit about some of the pieces surrounding Kawhi and Paul George. One of them came straight from the Lakers, and that's Ivak Zubac. He's had off to a terrific start. How impressive has Ivaka been, going on through this season so far?
He's been, I think, one of the most positive things that the Clippers talk about this whole season, because if you think about it, when they didn't have Paul George but Kawhi was playing, and when they didn't have Kawhi but Paul was playing, it was a little hard to take, at least I felt, kind of long-term takeaways from what we were really watching, because right. You knew when these two get together, just things are going to change. The whole lineup changes, players' roles changes. So it's a little hard sometimes to think of these last 14 games and be like, what do we really know about this team at this point? I think one thing that you definitely can point to as real is that Zubac has absolutely done what he had hoped at the beginning of the year when I talked to him in training camp, which was stay on the court, you know, and they're playing good teams with faster players, kind of like the Warriors last year, who basically ran him off the court in the playoffs. He took that as kind of almost like a real disappointment in himself that he could not stay on the court, that he went from being a starter to a bench guy, and having two healthy hands, which is not what was the case last year, that has also helped. But he has really made a big push on being healthier, physically being more limber to stay on the court, but just defensively and offensively, he's had huge leaps and bounds. I think he was always a pretty capable rim defender.
Yeah.
What you're seeing now is a guy who's really effective in the pick and roll too with Kawhi.
Andrew, the preseason publications, many of them had the Clippers as the favorite in the West. And right now the Lakers are off to the better start. Obviously, much of that might have to do with Paul George having been hurt. And the fact the Clippers haven't played that well on the road yet, I expect them to play better. Where do the Clippers feel they are in relation to the Lakers? Like, what is their inside reaction to whatever rivalry there is in Los Angeles? Because it could end up coming down to these two teams to decide the West this year. It'd be a lot of fun if it does. And I don't know that I can choose a side quite yet.
Yeah, my sense is that the Lakers have shown more of their hand earlier because they've been a little bit healthier. Now, I know that Anthony Davis has been dealing with a shoulder, and Avery Bradley is out for a little bit, but they've been healthier from 1 through 15 on the roster more than the Clippers have been early going. So I think that what the Clippers have felt like is there were some expectations before the season started that it was going to be a little rough before Paul George and Kawhi got in the court together. They were not thinking, at least from my read, that they were going to have an 11-2 start or 10-2 start. so actually they felt like these games where they haven't had everyone healthy have actually been better than expected in a lot of ways. So I don't think that they look at the Lakers and think, we are pretty far behind, like that record of defense. I think they look at it and say, we're just starting our season in many ways tonight. Mm-hmm. And so that's considering the kind of the potential they did show in some stretches in the first 15 games, I think they took that as a positive more so than a negative.
Well, definitely a good start and a good test then if the season starts tonight for the
Indeed.
Clippers, because the Boston Celtics are 11-2. And not only that, they're 6-2 on the road. I mean, they've been playing on the road all season long, coming in there at the end of a long West Coast trip. Andrew, thanks for the time. Enjoyed it. Hope we catch up with you later in the season, because I think these two L.A. teams are going to be hanging around
for a while. Duking it out, no doubt.
It's going to be fun. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Absolutely. Andrew Greif from the Los Angeles Times there, who covers the Clippers as they get set to meet the Boston Celtics. Now, he says Kawhi is playing tonight. Stories are still saying that it's not 100% positive.
Yeah, he's questionable, I've seen a couple publications come out say that
later in the afternoon stuff has said that he's gonna play. Yeah, so they're 7-2 with Kawhi on the court this year. So, you know, but Boston's gonna be without Marcus Smart tonight. And you know how much I love that guy. Because he's the glue for Boston.
Yes.
I mean, they got all the big-name guys who score all their points, and Tatum and the rest of those guys, and Kemba Walker's now with the Celtics. But Marcus Smart's a glue guy. Really like him. And I love their coach. I love Brad Stevens. Huh?
It's very this team is actually – and this is coming from a dude who can't stand the Celtics.
No kidding. I mean, who
this
could
team is
if you were
actually
a Laker
fun
fan?
To watch. I mean
– they have a lot of guys.
They play like – this team played the year Isaiah Thomas was on there. It was just like everybody touches the basketball. It's a different style now that Kyrie Irving's not there.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're better off without Kyrie Irving, and that just didn't work out for them last year. So not everything works out. That's why you never know.
Sometimes it's not about whose fault it was. Sometimes the pieces just never fit
exactly.
to begin with.
I agree. I just don't think for whatever, because not like Kawhi or Kyrie Irving's a bad player.
No.
He's a great player, but it just didn't work with him and that group of Celtics.
Right.
And they're better off without him. All right. Good stuff there from Andrew Greif for the Los Angeles Times. Time for our biggest fan winner on this Wednesday. And if your name happens to be Ron Vallis or Valles, V-A-L-L-E-S, Ron, you are our biggest fan today. You have 10 minutes to call us back at 833-288-0973. That's 833-288-0973. Ron, you have won, if you call us, a family four-pack of tickets to 97.3 The Fan Night at SeaWorld's Christmas Celebration presented by Sprint. And you're going to be entered to win our grand prize, which is a Vegas getaway that includes two tickets to the Mob Museum with the Underground Speakeasy Experience, dinner for two at Uniquely Las Vegas Oscar Steakhouse, and a two-night stay at the iconic Plaza Hotel and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. Ron, if you don't call in, I'm going to take the prize. So give us a call, 833-288-0973, and make sure the rest of you sign up, enter this contest. Go to 973thefansd.com/biggestfan and wait for your name to be called. All right, good stuff from Andrew Greif there. That was fun talking some basketball with him, and it is going to be the Clippers and the Lakers. I'm feeling more and more. I know it's 20 game. We're coming up on the first quarter of the season, but I don't know. Portland's disappointed me. I guess Houston's going to have something to say about it.
Yeah, I think they will.
They have something to say about it.
They will.
Yeah, but it's the Lakers and Clippers. There's a great chance that they get to play each other in a Staples Center Western Conference final. All seven games. That would be something.
Never have to travel.
No travel.
It's an advantage for both teams, whoever goes. We haven't traveled all conference finals.
Yeah, that would be – and it wouldn't split the city because it's still going to be 80% Lakers.
Not even – it's not going to be close, basically.
No, it's not going to be close. But it's still the Clippers trying to come up to that level, and maybe this is the year they make it. We'll see. I mean, because they because they only won, what, one playoff series with Chris Paul and all of that?
I think so.
All the time? So, I mean, as good as they've been for the last half dozen years, it hasn't paid off much in the postseason. All right, Big Five's coming up next. I'm Chris Ello. That's Tony Gwynn Jr. Scraby is getting the Big Five ready on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
438, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello. I'm a little fired up right now. I am.
Yeah, what's going on?
We're going to talk about it in the happy hour.
Oh, the happy hour.
Hopefully it'll make
me
happy.
We're going to talk about it in the happy hour because you're irate.
I just saw this clip of this umpire walking off.
What was it, a Little League game?
It was a travel ball game.
Travel ball
game. Little League parents don't act like this. It's travel ball parents.
Yeah, you're right.
Just completely crushing a guy. He'd had enough. And eventually they say some more things. He walks off the field and he's the jerk. He's been taking a beating, a verbal beating from
parents.
And
he also takes a moment to go try to talk to the parents and say, you know, just enjoy the game and, you know, enough's enough. And the parents don't stop. So, yeah, interesting. We will talk about that. I don't know what I would do.
I know what you would do.
You think I would leave?
I think you would 100% leave. I would leave.
I know, but you'd want
to. Wait, we have to hit the ref sounder.
No, we don't.
No, this is a referee thing.
No, we're talking about it in the 6 o'clock hour.
So there you go.
That's what Tony said. Right, now we got to do something else.
Yeah, look good this holiday season with super cuts and keep looking sharp all year long. Go to 973thefansd.com and sign up to win a year's worth of super cuts, courtesy of 973 The Fan and Supercut San Diego. So if you want to get nice and diced up on with your hairline, if you have one still, unlike myself, this could be the thing for you. So, Scraby, with that being said, I'm going to pass the show along to you so you can
thank you.
Excite us with your big five.
Okay.
It's now time for the most unpredictable, most wacky, most opinionated segment of the show.
I wouldn't brag about it.
Gwen and Chris talk about the best of the rest.
Great balls of fire.
Ooh, with a twist.
Personally, I think we got hosed on that call.
The Big Five begins right now.
Don't panic, but there's absolutely nothing to worry about.
On 97.3 The Fan.
And as always, follow me on Twitter at Matt Scraby.
Oh, my God. Here we go. Begging on his knees.
B as in boy, Y. I had a direct message from someone. We started off the show with a 49er bashing for some reason. I don't know how we got there or why we went there, but we did.
Well, our show is kind of has a Bay Area flavor to it today, and we just assumed that it was because of you.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, they bashed the 49ers. Chris says they're going to be 9-7 because that's losing out. Tony says they're going to be 12-4, and I agree with Tony. I think 12-4 is probably the mark. Well, Tommy Atalano direct messaged me and said, I agree with Chris. 9-7, maybe. 10-6 if they're lucky.
He must be a Raider fan.
He might be. I said, no way. 12-4.
Did you say it like that through direct message?
I did. I said,
no way.
I said, no way, with 3 exclamation points.
They have 3 automatic losses left on their schedule.
Are we back to
this?
So
that means they've got to win the other 3 games to go 12-4.
All right.
Including this weekend against Green Bay.
Find me on Twitter. I'm at Scraby.
Okay.
Number 5.
San Diego's own Jimmy Johnson will have one more season in NASCAR. The 7-time Cup Series champion will retire at the end of the 2020 season when his contract with Hendrick Motorsports is up. The 44-year-old won his record-tying 7th title in 2016, but it hasn't won a race since June of 2017. He's currently mired in the longest winless streak of his career. It's been 95 Cup Series races since Johnson won at Dover back in 2016. Or 2017. Tony, should we consider Jimmy Johnson as one of the best athletes to come out of San Diego, even if it's NASCAR?
He's having trouble with this one.
Best athlete? Sure. We could say that. I mean, Jimmy Johnson's definitely one of the best NASCAR racers to ever do it. I hesitate it because I generally don't think of race car driving an athlete, but it's not necessarily fair.
You kind of have to
if you've never
done it, nor have I.
No.
Nor do I even know anybody who's done it. But from everybody I've talked to, sitting in a race car for 500 miles takes a tremendous amount of athleticism and skill and focus. And
I was going to say the mental part
shifting
of it
gear.
Is
it's
probably the toughest.
The mental part is probably the toughest, but physically, I don't. From what I understand, it's not very easy either.
No,
I will tell you, because I'm a big NASCAR IndyCar guy. It's really hot in those cars, and after it's probably 180 degrees in those cars. And after your doing about 3 hours of this.
Oh, yeah, because there ain't no AC in there.
No, there's no AC.
In South Carolina wherever they are.
Yeah.
In the summertime, can
exactly.
you imagine?
Yeah. And they're in these cars for five hours, and they're in the suits and everything. So
yeah.
I think stamina is what they need.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, that's fair. He can be labeled as one of the best athletes ever out of San Diego, for sure.
Chris?
Yeah, he's not on the Mount Rushmore of all-time San Diego athletes, but he's certainly a San Diego Athlete Hall of Famer. I mean, come on, 7 NASCAR titles? That's phenomenal. You know, something that I was thinking about as you were reading this off about Jimmy Johnson, that he's coming back for one more season and that he hasn't won in, what'd you say, 95 races?
Yes.
Isn't it interesting that Philip Rivers throws 4 interceptions and his career is over? Man, that's done. Get him out of here. It's time to kick him while he's down. Jimmy Johnson has been an ordinary stock car driver now for 3 years. But I doubt very much many people kick Jimmy Johnson down. I mean, here's a guy that won 7 times on the NASCAR, you know, an incredible record. So he's always going to be remembered at the Hall of Fame level, regardless of how he finishes out his career, whereas athletes in other team sports don't get that same break. I don't know why I thought of that, but
I
did.
Just getting word that we're going to have Uncle Teddy on the show in the 5 o'clock hour.
Oh, good.
So let's go to number 4.
Perfect.
Number 4.
Buffalo Bills quarterback Josh Allen has his team at 7-3 and just won the Week 11 AFC Offensive Player of the Week. Well, 2 years out from when he was drafted, some people say he was the best quarterback taken in the first round of the draft in 2018. That includes Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, and Ravens' Lamar Jackson.
Who said that?
Happened? The way I worded it meant now, but yes, when they were drafted, they were saying that he was the best out of the draft class. Right now, I mean, it's a slam dunk. Lamar Jackson is the best out of that class, but I'm not going to ask you guys that. Chris, I'm going to ask you this. Do the Bills make it farther in the playoffs than the Ravens?
No.
I cleared this with Thomas before we started this.
He said,
no. Thomas just shook his head like, no. No,
no I think I he said, shook his head like, yeah, he asked me.
I didn't think it was a bad question.
I'll be more than happy to expand on that. I think the Bills are a nice team. It looks like they're going to get into the postseason. I feel vindicated in my defense of Josh Allen because I was one of the few people who told all of you out there that when I saw him at Wyoming, he was remarkably good and he has turned into a really good quarterback. But no, I think the Ravens are going to the Super Bowl. I mean, I really do. I don't think anybody in the AFC is even close to them. I think perhaps Kansas City could make a run if they can get healthy. Even as great as New England always is, I think Baltimore is far better than they are, at least at the moment. So I think the Ravens are going to the Super Bowl. So, no, I don't think the Bills are going to go further than them in the playoffs.
Tony?
Yeah, that to me is a no-brainer. I think the Ravens get a lot farther. They just have a... Minus the quarterbacks, they just have a better team than the Buffalo Bills, in my opinion. Defensively, offensively, they're not predictable like the Bills are. The Bills just, they have grit. They get in close games. They seem like they get more confidence as the game goes along. Next thing you know, they end up winning a game. So, you know, looking at these quarterbacks, Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, although Lamar and what's the kid we're talking about right now?
Josh Allen.
What's the kid we're talking about right now?
There's a lot of Joshes. There was also Josh Rosen.
Right. That threw
me
off.
Remember, you played baseball, man. You didn't get that many concussions. Come
Reed
on.
And Josh Rosen threw me all the whole thing off. But they're on the better teams, but you could argue that Josh Allen is the third best quarterback right now.
How would you rank him? Lamar Jackson 1.
I could have a debate over Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen as number 2.
The Bills' defense is sneaky good. They could stop Lamar Jackson.
They too have played no one.
Come on, Scraby. Honestly,
I'm just trying to make.
I'm
going to
give you $100 and tell you to go run and bet even money on the game between the Ravens and the Bills.
I will pocket your $100. I will buy something.
My point being, you're not going to bet the Bills.
What's the spread?
I just said there's no spread. Asked who's going further in the playoffs.
There has to be a spread because the
Ravens. No, there's no spread.
At home, I think the Ravens are favored by 4 in the playoffs.
By 4?
What?
You are.
Whoa, yeah, there was almost. Wow, is he going to blow up?
Gravy!
You get 3 points for being at home. So you're telling me that you think the Ravens are only 1 point better than the Bills?
No, I think they're probably a 7.5 point favorite.
Lord have mercy.
He's saying go up. You're thinking that in the playoffs, there's a 10 point?
I don't care if it's in the playoffs, the Super Bowl.
It's a good 11.
Yeah.
You want somebody to bet on the Bills, you better give them at least 11.5 points.
No disrespect, Bills.
By the way, I think Chris's face just turned the color of his Blackhawks jersey he's wearing. Red.
Number three.
New York, I'm seeing red.
New York Jets running back Le'Veon Bell ripped the NFL for its drug testing policy, implying today on Twitter that he's being unfairly targeted. He said, quote, I done had 5 random HGH blood tests in 10 weeks at NFL. I'm not doing another after today. Whatever y'all looking for, it obviously ain't there. And I'm not about to keep allowing y'all to stick me with those dirty blank needles. Find the players who really do that HGH BS and get off me. End tweet.
Wow.
The former Steelers star was suspended 2 games in 2014 after he was charged with marijuana possession and DUI. And in 2016, he was suspended 4 games for missing a drug test. So, Tony, is the NFL in the wrong for this?
Contractually, no. This is in the collective bargaining agreement. So, you know, the random. But listen, part of the reason why the HGH test took a while to get into the league, even after we started knowing about it, is because who likes to get stuck with needles?
No one.
And when it's random, or let me put my air quotes around that. When it's random, you could possibly get stuck 5 times in a matter of a few weeks. That would, you know, I've seen some of the biggest dudes, and I don't want to throw them under the bus, but I'm going to say it, Clayton Richards.
Ooh.
We get physicals every year. I saw this huge human being pass out. And there's guys like that across all sports that see needles and they just... little queasy.
When I got my ears stretched and I got them pierced for the first time,
passed out.
I passed out.
Yeah, man. Needles ain't every. I don't care how big you are. Needles still feel the same for some as it did when you were like 9.
I had some stitches out today, and I was in serious pain and problems. Just to give you an idea what a wimp I am. Have I been asked this question?
No.
What is the question?
Is the NFL in the wrong for this?
No, because what Tony said, that's in the bargaining agreement, but Le'Veon Bell's not the first guy in any sport to complain about this stuff. It does seem like
I think Carlos Gomez was in baseball
last year. The randomness of this does seem, in certain situations, to be a little strange, because it honestly feels like some guys just get targeted, and I can understand why they feel the way they do. I really can.
Good example, Danny Green, the other Sunday night, caught a tip dunk.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody was blown away because Danny Green doesn't do that very often.
Right.
Next day, drug test.
Yeah. It's, you know, there's guys that feel like they're being targeted, and I can understand why they feel that way. So I get where Le'Veon Bell is coming from, but until he gets into a new collective bargaining agreement, he's going to have to be subjected to this.
Time out real quick. Where did you say you'd have the Niners at?
5th.
look where James Jones has him on NFL Network as the best teams in NFL.
James Jones.
Oh, no,
also,
in the NFC.
What was the crazy thing?
In the NFC, he has him 5th.
Exactly what you said.
No, he has him 5th.
The reason he's fifth is because the Seahawks will take the number one spot in the NFC West.
No, they didn't.
Nope, they didn't.
Green Bay is going to be number one.
No, I'm saying the NFC
West.
Play
for Green Bay.
But James Jones also said the Browns are going to beat the Patriots a few weeks ago and then make their run and have a home game in the AFC Championship. Ah!
Now Scraby's seeing the color.
Blah, 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 blah. Thank you, Thomas.
Number 2.
The Dallas Cowboys are getting set to play the Patriots this weekend, and during Cowboys owner Jerry Jones, his weekly radio show on sister station 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, he said something very interesting about a run-in with Patriots legend Bill Belichick before he became the Patriots head coach. Here is Jar Jones on Shan and RJ on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas.
I'll never forget, I was skiing after the season was over, our season was over, the Cowboys season was over, and I was buying skis for my grandkids, renting skis for my grandkids, and there was a line, and I'm sitting in the back. Somebody bumps up against me a few times, and I turn around, and there's this guy that I couldn't make of him because he had his ski stuff on and goggles and raised up. It was Bill. And, of course, he had he no longer had a job. He had been with Cleveland, and they'd let him go up there. And he said, boy, listen, said, I can coach, said, if you ever get an opportunity, don't forget about me. And I thought about that many times. You never know when you can find a great coach. You can find them in a ski checkout line sometime.
So that was Jerry Jones, Cowboys owner.
Why do you keep doing the Atlanta Braves Chipper Jones things with Jerry Jones?
Because Jerry Jones talks like this.
He doesn't.
Anyway, Chris, do you think Bill Belichick would have been able to do what he has done with the Patriots if he was on another team?
Yes, but not the Cowboys.
I was thinking the same exact thing.
So you're saying that he could have gone to any team in the NFL,
not
and
any.
They would be the Patriots.
I didn't say any team. I said yes, for the but Cowboys. Not the Cowboys. I said,
swear
no,
God,
I didn't. Don't misquote me.
No, I know what you're saying.
I said not the Cowboys because Jerry Jones would meddle in his business
exactly.
way too much.
Exactly.
So I think there's a lot of teams where the owners would get out of his way and give him a chance to do his thing and give him full command and control, which is what he needs. And with that, yeah, I think it wouldn't really matter. I think the Patriots have obviously had some good people around Bill Belichick, but most of those guys that have gone elsewhere have not had anywhere near the same success.
And he doesn't have Tom Brady, Bill Belichick.
Well,
he has Tony Romo instead.
With the Cowboys, he'd have Jerry Jones driving him crazy.
Jerry Jones.
He wouldn't
right.
be able to do anything.
Ultimately,
so.
That's what it boils
that's
down
my
to,
thing.
Is that Jerry, well, maybe this Jerry now might have let Belichick do his
right.
thing, but the Jerry when Bill took over the Patriots, there's no shot he would have let him have
yeah.
that kind of, you know, movement to do what he wanted to do. So I agree with Chris. No. Or I should say he could have done this, but not with the Cowboys.
I think you bring up a fair question though, Scraby, when you mentioned Tom Brady. I mean, if he was with the Bengals, probably wouldn't have
so
Tom Brady. It does seem odd that the Bengals would have five Super Bowl championships right now with players they've had, but they probably wouldn't have those players
they
if Bill Belichick was there.
He probably would have still drafted Tom in the fifth,
right. yeah,
fifth
yeah,
round.
You might be right. Yeah.
That's not like a find that everybody had on their list. Like, clearly, Belichick saw something in him
yeah.
that drafted him.
I would love to know which teams had Tom on their list.
And by the way, he did replace Drew Bledsoe, so it's not. So he had a pretty decent quarterback.
Well, Drew Bledsoe was a Cowboys quarterback. At some point in his career.
Well, he had to go to be the Cowboys quarterback.
He had to after
Tom Brady
replaced him.
In, yeah.
All right, I thought that was more interesting than our other one. So we'll talk about Derrick Rose and load management later on in the show.
Indeed, we will.
We didn't get through the Big Five for a second consecutive day.
No, we got through yesterday.
He skipped that one for whatever
reason. No, we
didn't
get through it yesterday. We only did four stories.
I skipped it because
yesterday.
The Jerry Jones audio was a minute long, and I wanted to play Jerry Jones.
Sometimes you got to patch it together. So.
A new segment on the program every day at 4:30, the Fab Four. Because we can't get through five anymore.
We will roll into the 5 o'clock hour. That also means we reset the show. So we're going to take a break, pay some bills. When we come back, we're going to reset it. Squint and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.